You are listening to the Beyond the High Road podcast with Shelby Milford, episode number 76. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Beyond the High Road, a podcast dedicated to healing your heart and life following the grief of alienation. I'm your host, Shelby Milford, a twice-certified life coach with an advanced certification in post-traumatic growth and grief. Using proven concepts based heavily in neuroscience and psychology, I developed my own playbook for reintegrating with life and reframing my role as my daughter's mother, even while living apart. I went from feeling agonized, helpless, and directionless to feeling energized, confident, and most importantly, at peace. Today, I get to help other parents like you to do the same. Stay tuned.
Hey guys, so I just wanted to take a moment to thank Jess very much for your review this last week. I actually just decided to make a quick new segment. Jess's review said, I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for sharing your experience with the trauma, loss, and ambiguous grief of parental alienation. On your latest episode, when you shared your experience of paying child support to your ex who had totally inequitable salary worth than you, girl, same. I will never understand how our family court system continues to fail so many families. Anyway, thank you for your vulnerability, support, and encouragement. I appreciate you. Respectfully, Jess. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for that review, the very kind and thoughtful review. Thank you. Since I can't find that little blurb that I recorded a couple weeks ago, I wanted to say a quick thank you to Bax Mama, and she said Shelby's able to voice the unbearable questions and gives guidance by living her life ahead of mine. She brings us with her without leaving us behind and letting us know she remembers what it was like and is still living in real time the pain of alienation without hiding her vulnerability. I hope this makes sense. Yes, it absolutely does. I'm less alone and feel a bit less crazy and desperate, and that's a lot more than before. Thanks. I have chills reading that one. That's the one that put me in tears a couple weeks ago because that's what movie is that from? That's exactly what I was going for. That's exactly to a T what I'm hoping to provide for you guys is to let you know that I've been there and it does get better, right? And that I always, last week's episode, I know that I had some followers that didn't follow me anymore, I think, after last week's episode, and that's okay. But what I wanted to say was that I wanted to go to a place that signifies and represented me not being out of touch with where each one of you it currently is or has been. I know all of us are on a different part of our own path. And some are right in the beginning, some are in the middle, some of it's been years and you've been healing and healing. And so I want to always try to remain in touch with each phase that I went through as well, you know, so that it's relatable. So anyway, I just wanted to say thank you for the both of those. And then also the person that left this review is some Roman numerals with a 2 and a 1 in here and a V, like a 5. So I'm going to just leave it. You know who you are. The title of it is A1. And so I found this podcast only a few weeks after searching false accusations and parental alienation. In that short time, Shelby's topics and the manner in which she lays it out have become an invaluable resource that I look forward to listening on my to from work. Thank you, Shelby, for your strength and courage. Bless you, your listeners. So yeah, I just wanted to take time and read those out to everybody because you took the time and to go through to Apple Podcasts, which is a pain in the butt, and try to find the review thing, and took the time to write those very thoughtful and kind words. So I really, really, really appreciate you. And hopefully with each one of those reviews and all of the other ones that we've had in the past that were astounding, each and every one of them. There's 10 reviews in all, and each one of these are just so beautifully, thoughtfully, from the heart written. So thank you to all of you that have done that. And now I'll shut up and get on to the episode. Okay.
Hi, you guys. How are we
doing today. Today we are going to be talking about social isolation, yes, but more, are you reaching out? Are you advocating for yourself in the times that you need it? So earlier this morning, I was writing a lesson for the new course I'm going to be offering. And I was talking about disenfranchised grief, which I've done an episode on that in the past. So I was talking about disenfranchised grief. And once alienation happens, our role as parents, I don't want to say changes completely, because I know that there are some of you out there who are still actively parenting your children, but your role as a parent is in question. We all experience to one degree or another some form of isolation, of alienation, not just from our children, because your role as parent may not be as participatory as it once was, then your role in most of the areas in your community, maybe you spent time hanging out with your children's friends' parents while your children were playing, and now you're not going to the park at lunchtime with the kids and with the moms or the dads, or maybe you were a sports coach for your kids' teams. That's not happening right now. Or maybe you feel less welcome at those places. You were once maybe on a first-name basis with the teachers and the administration at school, and now not so much. They suddenly have made themselves less accessible to you and are keeping you a bit at arm's reach. So by nature, already, just because your role might have shifted slightly or maybe a lot in your child's life, then all of these other roles that are related to it also change, right? And so we feel more and more isolated. This is before we even talk about the alienator does their thing and campaigns against you to the community. Maybe it affects your roles with your family, your job. There are so many different areas that this can infiltrate. And I don't mean to sound negative when I say this. I hope in the end, it's going to give you some steps to take and some positivity and some clarification for maybe what you might be experiencing and not been able to put words to. So all your roles are in question or have been shifted. Suddenly, we feel like we have nobody to really turn to. What do we do with our time? And who do we talk to about all of the emotions that are associated with grief, right? And the trauma that we've been holding. And so I always encourage parents that come to me to, if they haven't already, go see a counselor, right? To deal with whatever trauma you've been holding on to from the experiences that have gone on. It is so important for us as human beings to feel understood by somebody, anybody. And even if we don't feel completely understood, to know that we have support, people in our corner. These things are so healing. And if we don't have them, it can hinder our growth or the possibility for post-traumatic growth. I'm sure I've shared with you guys about the neuropeptide tachykinin that our brains secrete after any sort of prolonged isolation. And by prolonged, after I think a period of 48 hours, it's more not necessarily like if you're just alone by yourself, but if you feel lonely, if you feel unsupported, right? And what tachykinin does is its effects, because of the way it, I'm not going to get all into the weeds because I would do a shitty job at explaining it. And I don't think it would do you guys a service to try, but you guys can look it up. Basically, it interacts with your body to cause you to feel heightened amounts of paranoia, insecurity, anger, and fear. It makes that magnified. And that's why you hear about like elderly people who have some cognitive decline that have been living by themselves. They're like angry and paranoid and conspiracy theory and feel like people are out to get them. This is why. No matter what age we are, our body can start secreting this neuropeptide. The more that we produce and secrete, and the more alone we are, the more lonely we feel for the longer periods of time, the chances get much, much higher for early onset cognitive decline. And so, again, I don't want to tell you this to try and scare you. I think it's just information that is really good to have when we're making choices about whether we want to sit home alone on a Friday night, when we have the option to go do something with people that know and love us. Oh, that's right. Tack two could happen. I am so comfortable with where I'm at right now. And this, you know, it seems like the easier way out, it would just be to sit at home and watch Netflix and just whatever, whatever. But remind yourself too that it may not be the best option for you. I can picture myself back in the day when push came to shove and it was like, okay, I can either go and hang out with people, answer the questions from the neighbors about how things are going for me, you know, with normal people, people that weren't experiencing anything like this or didn't know. The easier answer and the path of least resistance would have been to stay at home, keep isolating, and not put myself out there, right? And just know when I say this, that I'm not ever going to go to the place where I'm like, yeah, tell all your neighbors and friends what's going on with you. Put yourself in a vulnerable space. It doesn't matter if they judge you and you feel hurt. I could say that at all. But we get so comfortable with choosing to stay home, especially after the pandemic, for all of the world who's not going through alienation, right? I think we've really become a sort of antisocial society. We've really all settled into our own, which I loved back in the day because it gave me an excuse to not socialize. Like, I loved the pandemic. I was talking about that. My mom was in town this last weekend, how I was like, the pandemic came and I was like, yes. I mean, obviously not for the deaths that happened at COVID, but the excuse to stay locked inside and isolated. It was at that time really when I was emerging from my depression, but still it gave me that extra buffer of time to really, you know, get myself together and move forward. I loved being locked down. At the time I was in Texas and we really went through a lockdown. I don't know. Maybe that's just was my interpretation. Maybe other states were worse. But anyway, it seemed to be like we really had curfews and stuff like that. And honestly, didn't change my life one bit. Because remember, I was the hermit on the hill already. So this was like, oh, good. Now everybody's forced to be like me. I'm not the pariah. But anyway, so neither here nor there. We have all gotten very comfortable with retreating to our home and not stepping out, not making the effort to reach out to loved ones or ask for help when we needed it. This is a big one. Asking for help for those of us that have gone through something as traumatic and heartbreaking, debilitating, all the things that alienation is so difficult for us. Not all of us. I mean, some of you, I was actually writing this to somebody the other day, another alienated mom. You're either the kind that shit goes down and you immediately go outward and you need to talk it out, reach out, and you need to find other people that have gone through this, right? Or you go inward and you isolate completely. Where I once thought that I was an extrovert and that the first option would have been my route, I, in fact, did not do that. I went completely inward and isolated more. And I know that a lot of you out there have done the same and are doing the same. You have shut the doors down, closed up shop, and you don't want to tell anybody because the people that you have told have either disappointed you or taken the information and in your mind betrayed you or breached the trust or whatever. So you've just decided to, you know, eyes to the floor, keep going and hope and pray that you get through this and to the other side. And by the time that you do share this information, you've already healed from it and everything will be fine, right? But the problem with that is you hold yourself back in so many of the areas that count in order to heal your heart and your mind, really, but emotionally, you must have this human connection. We are creatures that are, we yearn to be understood. The easy way out would be to stay inside, watch Netflix again each Friday night in your sweats, open up a bottle of wine and isolate, right? Self-isolate. Alienation seemingly threatens most of our basic needs, your financial needs, having a roof over your head, putting food on your table in your belly. Maybe your job is in jeopardy because of the effects of alienation. Maybe you're not showing up to work as bright-eyed and bushy-tailed as you once did. Maybe your ex is sending emails to your boss. Maybe you're spending so much time in court, you're having to represent yourself, so your attention's going to that. So it affects your livelihood, how much money is going out to the attorneys and to the court system, evaluators and psych evals. It is financially exhaustive. And then it affects your own children. And so your safety feels like it is in jeopardy. And it actually could be as well, because we're coming from, many of us coming from very abusive situations. So we are in this place where we're like, emergency, emergency. Trauma response is like in continual, prolonged activation. Reaching out is one of like the last things on our mind. Although we crave it so much. In fact, I think that there are studies out there that show, don't quote me on this, but I'm almost positive, studies that show that the brain activity that happens from when a person is feeling lonely, maybe they did this on mice, is almost identical to a person or a mouse in this case who is hungry and searching for food. The effects of loneliness on the brain are essentially the same thing as going starving, right? You cannot survive without food. Your brain does the exact same thing when it comes to loneliness, isolation. So it would make sense that, given the information I gave you before, that because all of your basic needs are being threatened, that you would put your self-care, your social life on the back burner. But I want to challenge you to think about this a little differently. Your social life doesn't mean that you have to be going out to bars and hooping it up. Different. Then it's not the same thing. Your social life, or your moral support, your social support, your close family, the need to feel understood, the need to be understood, it should be very high on the totem pole when it comes to your hierarchy of needs, like what you should take care of first. When you're looking at the areas of self-care, like how can I advocate for myself today? Speaking to somebody that you love, feeling love, like for somebody, and compassion on an everyday basis is very, very important. Even if in small doses, getting on the phone with your mom, if that's, you know, what it is for today, calling, texting a friend, reach out is what I'm saying. It's super important. So like I said, the tendency is to put the social life on the back burner. And also, because we've gone through so much and maybe do feel unsupported by the very people that we would be turning to, we clam up, we throw up the walls, and we choose feeling betrayed or bothered by them, the negative emotions and the negative experience of them, over the possible benefits, the possible pluses. It's always a choice. And I'm not saying compromise yourself by any means, but a lot of times I think that our brains, because it's in survival mode, will want to tell you, don't talk to that person. They betrayed you. They did this. The other person, oh, no, not them. Your brain wants to keep you, like I was talking about in a recent episode, keep you locked up in your little cave, in your comfort zone. And it wants to keep you away from having to exert energy and put yourself out there, get vulnerable by connecting with others. But this is the very thing that will actually make you very, very sick, keep you from furthering your healing. So don't listen to your brain in the times where it's sort of being the bully and the negative influence on you. Learning discernment, asking yourself questions about the excuses that your brain gives you automatically. Oh no, don't talk to them. They did that thing and they were assholes to us, so we don't like them anymore. Let's shut them out. We become so defensive with that tattoo and feeling paranoid, anxious, and stay away from me. You're bad, you're bad, you're bad. What we end up doing is pushing ourselves so far away from all of the support that then we're on an island and we've got nobody. Again, I'm not stressing or suggesting that anybody go compromise your values in order to just be with people. Not at all. I'm just saying, question the excuses that, or the arguments that your brain tries to provide for you in the moments when you think about reaching out to that person. maybe the fact that they didn't call you back on blah, blah, blah occasion doesn't have to be such an offense that we aren't speaking to them anymore. Pick your battles. If you don't have anybody that you feel like you can be supported by and also support, that is a very important element here. So somebody can lean on you. That also brings us, and I was talking about this recently, a sense of purpose, doing service work for others, service work for those that we love, and maybe people that we don't know at all, right? Like in a soup kitchen or a women's shelter, even like an animal rescue, right? All providing meaning to other living beings. So first and foremost, feeling like that you can share with somebody, but also to the reciprocal side of things is a close second. And then of course, if you're like me, you inherited a menagerie of animals while you were going through all of your stuff. The animals, of course, are also a very good option, but are not enough. You need the human connection for your healing. As I'm sure you guys know, there is a difference between being alone and feeling lonely. I can feel entirely supported sitting in this house, right? Doing my work by myself. I can feel supported and not lonely. Or I could be in a crowd of people, smack dab in the center of that crowd of people, and feel painfully lonely. There's a difference. One way we're opening up and have chosen to trust and rely on others. And the other way we've closed everybody out, okay? So just because you're amongst people does not mean that you have connected. And I think that this is a very important point because so many of us are like, oh, well, we'll just go out. We'll go out and have drinks with people. Oh, I went out with people. I've been social. This is so big for you and I, people like us. Oh, I went out. I socialized. I was fine. I was just out with the whole gang from work last week. I was just this, that, whatever. Right. But did you feel known, seen amongst those people? Did you feel valued and heard? And if not, I'm not saying that that's their fault. I'm saying that it's nobody's fault, but it's on you. When we've come from something like this, because all of those basic needs have been at risk and threatened, we get into that, like I was starting to talk about before, we get into that extended prolonged trauma response. We get into a mindset of victimization without even realizing it. Please know that I'm not like calling you. Nobody likes to be told that they have a victim mindset, but I think it's impossible for you not to at some point in your victimhood in this alienation predicament, it's almost impossible that you wouldn't because you have been a victim. You are a victim still. So being in a victim mindset would be understandable. But when we're there in that mindset and sometimes, often, most of the time, not knowing that we're there, and you'll know you're there when you're telling yourself you can't do something because of the alienation. Our brains so easily dismiss any possible options, any possible actions or avenues to take. We shut ourselves down from seeing what's next or where we can make a move because we're in that place of, I can't make any moves. They've blocked me in every which way, right? And so you want to throw your hands up and be like, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. Nobody wants to hang out with me. I don't want to have to go explain my situation. They're going to judge me. They're going to betray my trust. They're going to go and tell the alienator this. I have nobody I can hang out with and I'm fucked, right? It is very, very easy to slip into that without even realizing. You'll notice because here you are alone. You haven't reached out to anybody. You haven't thought of ways to connect with whoever in your life. And again, you don't have to share with these people what is actually going on with you down to every last detail, but you can share the basic emotions that are going on. You know, I'm going through something really tough right now, and I'm not ready to share all of it with you, but just know that I feel alone and I just want somebody to sit next to me. Are you that person? You know? Most people feel delighted to have somebody be that open with them. Simple. I don't want you to solve my problems. I really don't. I just want you to sit with me, watch a movie with me. How about we go shopping together? It can look all different ways, but if you just get down to like the nuts and bolts of it, let's just hang out. We can talk about whatever. I know I did talk about this in an episode maybe back in the 50s, 50, maybe 4 or 55. And I can't remember. So that would have been back in like August, September, or October. But I'm not sure. I'm sure it's a different take than it is today. My point is that if you are not reaching out, this is your friendly and loving reminder to do so. Take a little inventory of yourself. When was the last time you were hanging out with somebody that you felt understood or seen by? When was the last time you picked up the phone and initiated a conversation with somebody? When was the last time that you reached out just to tell somebody you love them? Just to tell somebody, maybe you don't agree with them, but you really appreciate who they are. A good way to gauge is like, what if the world was ending tomorrow? Who would you be like, why didn't I reach out to them sooner? Why have I waited this long? Was this grudge that important? Was my pride more important than me not connecting with them every day since whenever you stopped talking with them? If there's any squabbles that you might have been in since this whole alienation thing began, are they worth it? And are you ready to put it in the past? Would the pros of reconnecting with them outweigh the pros of not? Do you know what I'm saying? I guess what I'm saying is just assess your social, emotional support and wellness area. And if you're not reaching out, please do it and ask for help. You guys, please. I see too many of us parents who are hurting so much and not just saying, hey, I'm hurting. Would somebody just sit with me even through a screen? I just want to like be here. You don't have to say a word, but I just want to connect with another human. This is so important. And you know, if you're like feeling misunderstood or not heard at all, there are so many of us out there. Speaking of, if you're not a member of the private Facebook group, come join. This is what that's there for. Just to feel heard and supported and loved and knowing that somebody is there to lift you up. Yeah, you don't have to go through this alone. By nature, this is a very isolating situation, dynamic that we're enduring, but we don't have to do it alone. Just because the person who's alienating from your kids from you wants that for you doesn't mean that you actually have to fall in line. There is help, there is love, there is support always for you. It may not always be in the way that we want it or we think we need it, but open up your mind to the possibility of maybe what's out there is better than you could ever have expected or dreamt up. Do you know what I'm saying? There is so much support and love I know that I have for each and every one of you. So whether it's that you're reaching out to another alienated parent, or you're reaching out to your own family members, or you're volunteering your time at an animal shelter, get yourself out there and connecting with others. Feel seen, feel heard. Put yourself out there enough to be seen, to be heard, okay? That's all I have for you guys today. Have a lovely one. This Friday, noon, in the private Facebook group, I will be doing another live event there. And you guys, I'm going to be announcing the launch of the new course coming up. I believe it's going to be sometime in April. And it's so good, you guys. I've been writing and recording and doing all the things pretty much every day for the last little while. So I'm really excited. It's basically going to be a survival guide course community for all of us going through what we're going through. I've written like basically like a book in there. And so it's my ode to us, to you and to me and to every alienated parent out there. It gives you all the tools that you need to heal. And I'm going to be doing it in phases too. Actually, I took this guidance from one of the current members of the Healing Reinvention Program, you know, that I've actually closed the doors on for current until I do open up this course. But they suggested that I do like phases, like stages. And I love this idea. So there'll be like a stage one when you're still needing to get out all of your grievances and the anger and upset that you might have at the person who's alienating your kids from you and maybe even your children too. And then there's a phase two and possibly a phase three. I haven't worked that one out yet, but it's basically beginner and intermediate phases to the course. And so anyway, that's all I'll share with you now. But it's coming up very soon. I just bit my tongue. I'm looking forward to seeing you all there. And other than that, that's all I have for you. You guys have a lovely, lovely rest of your week. Okay.
Thanks so much for listening today. If you like what you're hearing and you'd like to hear more, please make sure to click subscribe wherever you're listening or watching. Also, for bite-sized clips and tips, be sure to find me on TikTok or Instagram. See you next week.